Okay, welcome back once again to 2S, the Horror Quarters podcast. Yes. And we're welcoming back once again Spawn.
Yes.
And Corey.
Hello.
What up?
How's it going, fellas?
All right. Good. Thank you for having me back again. Thank you.
Man, anytime. I know you live kind of a far ways out from here, but anytime, man, we'll make it happen.
Thank you.
Today, specifically, we wanted to cover, since Scream 2022 came out.
Right.
We kind of wanted to go over that whole franchise.
Absolutely.
There's some hatred coming over from...
I don't say hatred. But, you know, I just think, you know, we'll get into it.
But anyways, well, what do you got, man? I mean, tell us your issues with it.
Okay, so, well...
Are we going to
Scream 1.
Okay. Yeah, we'll start from the...
We'll go theatrical now. No, I love Scream 1. Scream 1, in my opinion, it's not my favorite Wes Craven movie of all times, but it's his absolute best. I think it's flawless. I love all the characters in it. From start to finish, I have no problem with Scream 1. I just feel that Scream is not a, like Ghostbusters, like Jaws, like Back to the Future. There was another one that we mentioned earlier that didn't need to be a franchise, in my opinion. I think it was a one and done, because every time, you know, I mean, if you're watching this, you're a Scream fan, you know the spoilers. Every time there's a different killer, it just saturates it to me. So that's why, as a franchise, I like all five of them, but I think that, you know, it didn't need to become a franchise. With that being said, when I saw Scream, it gave me life and hope, because the early 90s, because in the 80s, it was all horror for me. And then the early 90s, it was such a dry and abysmal time for horror, because you had, like we talked about the previous episode, Leatherface was a bomb. Then you got in 91, you had Freddy's Dead, Last Nightmare or whatever. That was garbage. Then you had Jason Goes to Hell, dog shit. You know what I'm saying? So it was like very dry. There was slim pickings in the 90s for quality horror. You know, you had Silence of the Lambs, you had Candyman, People Under the Stairs, here, there. But when Scream came out, dude, it was on, and it gave me hope again and breathed life. And I remember, like, my ex-girlfriend at the time, she wasn't a horror fan, but she got some of the questions in the opening scene. And after that, we went to Hollywood Video. We grabbed all the Halloweens. We grabbed all the Friday the 13th. Okay. It just gave life to the horror genre. And I was just, it's just a perfect, like I said earlier, Wes Craven's perfect movie. I don't see any flaws in it, from the opening scene to the closing. I think it's, and then the script by Kevin Williamson. It's just genius. Is Kevin Williamson?
Yeah, Kevin Williamson.
Yeah, it's just genius. I mean, the meta humor and the way we looked at horror, and we would talk about it amongst our friends, it just sounded like the dialogue that they used in the. It's like they're eavesdropping. You know, like the way we would talk about, you know, the nightmares and the Halloweens and all that shit, or talk about how fine Jamie Lee Curtis was and how she didn't show her shit until she went legit. You know what I mean? So I just, you know, I have no beef, no ill will towards Scream 1. I think it's genius. I love the little Freddy Krueger cameo where it's Craven as the janitor, Freddy, Henry Winkler as the principal. You know, that all, Linda Blair as one of the reporters. I have no qualms with it. I think everybody was believable and likable, which is important. I talked about it a couple episodes back on Halloween. There's nothing worse than unlikable characters, and you're more invested in a movie when you like all the characters. I liked everybody, dude. And when like what's his name's girl, Christina Ricci's character, I forgot her name, when she got it, I felt it.
Christina Ricci,
not Christina Ricci, the one in the garage.
Rose McGowan.
Rose McGowan. Yes, yeah, I always get those two mixed up.
Dewey's sister.
Dewey's sister. When she got it, hurt me. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you think Dewey's got it, you know what I'm saying? You feel it. So, I mean, it's just a perfect flick. So, I don't got no problem with that one. We'll get to the ones that I have problems with. There it is. I got that same box set right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, another thing that I really loved about it is this. It was familiar, but it was different. You know what I mean? And the decisions that those characters made was not idiotic, like we talked about in like the last time we were all here about the Texas Chain and bad decision making. So I'm a hip hop fan, and like, I was all about the 90s hip hop, and then I didn't listen to hip hop for a long time, and then I got into underground, and to find something that sounded familiar, it was refreshing. Like when I came across Jedi Mind Tricks or like Immortal Technique, and they come from the cloth of the Wu-Tang and Black Moon and Hieroglyph, you know, like that type of, and that's what Scream 1 was. Okay. Where were you when you came across? Did you see it in the theater?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You kind of answered your own complaint in a way. I can't really say for sure if the 90s was slim pickings, because you mentioned some good films, which was
right.
Silence of the Lambs, yeah, Candyman, Seven was another really good
film. Right, but that was before.
Can be considered a horror film. Yep. So there was some good stuff in the 90s. Jacob's Ladder was another really, really good film that's, you know, very underrated.
Right.
So I don't necessarily...
maybe I'm thinking slasher, maybe.
I probably have to research some more, but I'm not too sure if the 90s is really a bad time for horror. It may have really been a better time, because what I noticed was, I think, I don't want to dwell too much into Silence of the Lambs, but I think Silence of the Lambs started to mark a change in where we were going with horror.
Right.
More and more grounded, grounded antagonists that could exist in the real world. You know, they weren't the mythical boogeymen like Michael Myers,
Freddy,
Jason Voorhees, or Freddy Krueger, which kind of leads me to Ghostface. You know, I think Ghostface is kind of got one foot in that world and one foot in the world of Halloween, because it is a mass slasher. But like I said, you know, like with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Leatherface and Ghostface are both kind of grounded characters.
Right.
They, you know, with a little luck, a little moxie, you could actually defeat these characters.
Right.
But I enjoyed the film. What I liked about the film, you know, I'm thinking about it, and whoever's watching this, feel free to write in and correct me if I'm wrong. I think it... It went against the type. I mean, it breathed fresh air into the slasher genre by kind of like taking the tropes and kind of turning them on their head.
Absolutely.
Perfect example is The Final Girl. Sidney Prescott was different than Laurie Strode and all the other Final Girls that, you know, came after Laurie Strode. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but the fact that she lost her virginity.
Right.
And she still was able to, you know, become the hero and save the day and,
right,
you know, vanquish the villain. And typically one of the rules in the movies is that the final girl doesn't lose her virginity. That's why she always survives. Right.
Because she's pure.
She has this virginal purity. Right. And that was, you know, Sidney Prescott was a real
young
woman.
Right.
You know, that, you know, like most teenagers, hormones are raging and she acted on them.
Right.
Another thing I liked about the series, and this goes from one all the way up to the current one, is that Ghostface could be anybody. I like the fact that in some of the movies, Ghostface was a female.
Right.
Other movies, Ghostface was a male.
Right.
Which, you know, I mean, because I understand there are a lack of truly standout female villains, and, you know, horror bad guys are really still a domain of guys.
Right.
And nothing wrong with that, because, I mean, we've got some of the most memorable horror villains.
Right.
But also, too, to me, evil is not gender specific. Anybody can do something horrible to another person, doesn't matter who you are. And I think that was kind of cool with Ghostface. I think, too, also why this franchise really resonates with people, I think, is because, in a way, like kind of like how Kevin Feige has kind of been the guiding hand for the Marvel movies, Scream has really been the vision of really one person.
Right.
Technically two, which is Kevin Williamson and Wes Craven.
Right.
Whereas
Wes,
like,
executed it, Kevin...
It's always been one person guiding it, one person's vision from the beginning to the end. Whereas, like, if you look at, you know, Halloween, Friday the 13th, it's, you know, each movie there's a different director, different producers sometimes, and they're going to come in with, you know, with a different idea, and sometimes they may not want to acknowledge what came before, they might want to do it all over again. But Scream has been pretty consistent throughout. And I think there's a certain comfort and familiarity that people like with that, you know, coming back to, you know, to that franchise. The characters are wonderful. I mean, you know, it's Scream is probably the textbook definition of a fun horror movie.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you juxtapose that to, like, Terrifier. You know, Scream is just fun. You know, it's not one of these things where, you know.
Not heavy. Like, I was telling him when we did the Texas Chain the last time, I said, you know, to binge watch the Texas Chainsaw, especially the ones from the 2000s, the tone's so heavy that I can't binge watch it like I would Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street, when they're a little bit more fun and easier to process, easier to digest. You know what I mean? They're very heavier. You know what I mean? So I totally agree with you. Scream is easy. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's very easy to digest, and it's just, this is good fun, you know, from start to finish. As far as Wes Craven films, where do you rank it as for him?
Well,
it's not my favorite Wes Craven, but it's, I feel it's his best.
You know, believe it or not, I'm trying to think of all the Wes Craven films. I haven't seen every single Wes Craven film. Shame on me. You know, I haven't seen Serpent in a Rainbow.
Deadly Friend?
I never saw Deadly Friend.
Oh, dude, that's
my
shit.
I remember when it came out. I missed it. I have The Hills Have Eyes. I just haven't watched it yet. I also have Last House on the Left. I haven't watched it yet.
Those are heavier. Those are heavier.
I mean, I guess between, if I had to come down, look, it really, really comes down to it. We have to compare his two most famous franchises, which is
Nightmare on Elm Street
and Scream. And if I had to see just on a first movie basis, I think I like Nightmare on Elm Street a bit more.
Absolutely.
A bit more than Scream.
Right. But I still think that Wes Craven, I mean, I feel that Scream is a superior movie to Nightmare on Elm Street. And I'm the biggest Freddy fan. That was the one that he was like my go-to in the 80s.
Well, superior how? Because I'm curious.
Okay, so I've never liked the end of Nightmare on Elm Street 1. When they snatch, and not to go on a tangent on another franchise, but when they snatch the mother through the thing, it just looks so corny. And it just wasn't definitive. And Scream, not in my movie, she bucks Loomis in the head. It's a wrap. They could have ended the franchise there if they wanted to. And it's definitive
in a positive way. No, that's really interesting. I mean, and that's very subjective, but it's respectable. Some people like a definitive ending. Some people like a more ambiguous ending. Like, you know, and even if there was never any Nightmare on Elm Street sequels, the fact the way it ended, we know that he's still out there.
Right.
And that's a really powerful image to leave with. And that's one of the things I thought, once again, I know we're jumping another tangent. I you know, why Halloween was so good at, you know, original was the way it ended.
Right.
He's gone, you know.
Right.
Is he still there? You know, where's he? You know, I mean, of course, the sequels answer that question.
Right.
But, you know, Elm Street was really well done. I don't want to delve into Elm Street, but I kind of feel like you don't get Sidney Prescott without Nancy Thompson.
I'm sorry, say that again. Can you say that again? Because I want him to hear that.
you don't get Sidney Prescott without Nancy Thompson.
Thank you.
And you don't get Nancy Thompson without Laurie Strode.
Right. But that's why she's the baby of them.
You know, so but I really like Sidney Prescott. And that's the thing I was gonna come back. The characters are so likable.
Right.
I
mean, all of them.
Sure.
You know,
she was considered kind of like on the antagonist side, which was
Gail?
Yeah, Gail's Weathers.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing about, you know, it's like there's more to Gail than just, you know, on a surface, he seems a very shallow person.
Very Lois Lane-ish.
You know, Lois Lane was never quite as shallow as Gail. But when you see her, you know, it seems like she'll do anything to get the scoop. But right. But when you really, you know, you start to really peel away layers, you see that Gail has a heart of gold.
Right.
She cares. And she evolves through the movies. She never lets you forget she's still Gail Weathers. But, right. You know, she definitely evolves throughout the series. I'm trying to think of what else I could say about this series. It's in the first movie is really just really good. It turned to slasher trope, and it was one of the, I won't say it was the first movie to be, I hate, you know, the term, lack of a better term, meta.
Right.
Because I like to say that Kevin Smith was probably doing that before Scream came out.
Right.
Because he was the one that was doing the Star Wars references and jokes and talk about movies. But, you know, Scream was the first one to really put into a horror movie.
Right.
And to, like, tell the audience, yeah, these films are kind of goofy and fun, and we know the
Right, because some people say that the first one to do that was Nightmare on Elm Street. Friday the 13th, Part 6. So, what say you? I know this is one of your go-to franchises. You have a lot of love for Scream.
Yeah.
Where were you when you saw it the first time?
It was 96, right?
Right. Yeah. Right, end of 96, yeah.
Yeah, I think I just got back from Vegas. I was up in Victorville at the time, living there. And went and saw it, and you know, obviously the opening scene.
Oh yeah,
is very memorable.
Yeah,
you know,
iconic.
Yeah, I felt that the constant swerve in it.
Right.
There's a constant swerve. You don't know who it is. Is it Spawn? Is it Corey?
Right.
Is it Leia? You know, you don't know. And
is
you
it
know.
Hitchcock behind you?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So that always kept me going. And Scream is one of those franchises, probably the only one that I can think of as of yet that it's hard for me to criticize.
Really?
You know, speaking about Gail Weathers, this is a character that's shallow, but she gave you the perspective of the viewers, you know, because we can see what her inside was, you know, in her relationship with Dewey. But we can also see what she's telling the public,
right?
You know, of that world,
right?
You know, she's that middle conduit, that perfect conduit, that to me is, I mean, of course, Sydney's the backbone,
right?
But I think Gail Weathers is a close second. None of the characters to me bothered me,
right?
You know, we talked about that a lot. Well written,
yep.
You know, and you know, the mask and everything is flimsy and as kind of. I mean, it's
cool. Dig the mask. When I first saw it, I was love at first sight with me.
Right, but I'm saying it's a mask that I think, generally speaking, in that world, you can go buy anywhere, right?
Right.
Which up the stakes even more because anyone can go in there and buy it.
Right.
Right.
Well, it goes back to what I'm saying. I think anyone could be Ghostface.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. So I mean, the first one to me is
right. It's a perfect film.
Yeah, I'd say perfect. Yeah. I don't think there's anything.
I can't think of any like flaws with it.
No.
I you know, I mean, the execution was there.
No bad
Stu and Billy, they were great.
No bad decisions.
No
on
bad
characters,
decisions
right?
of characters.
Is that fair? Is that fair? No stupid decisions from anybody. You know.
Yep. And
I got a friend of mine in San Diego. He doesn't like it. He's really knowledgeable of horror movies. His name's Chris.
Yeah.
He's not a fan of it. He thinks it insults his intelligence. But
all of them as a whole, or just
well, I think the first one in particular because it was so meta. You know, I think you know.
Yeah.
But you know,
I get
you, I respect his opinion. You know, teach their own.
Yeah. No, I dug. I have no problem with the first one. Again, I feel. I mean, I'm one of the minority that doesn't that thinks that it should have been Scream and that's it. You know what I mean? We still could have had the Ghostface still could have been popular. Look at Trick or Treat. I know it's not as popular as Scream, but you know, I just think it was a one and done. I feel the same way about Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, and a few others. Jaws.
I think we're getting a sequel to Trick or Treat.
I heard. I hope so.
Yeah, but they've been saying that for a while.
I hope so. Trick or Treat is the shit, man.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think it's a one and done, in my opinion. But that's, I mean, you know, I'm not mad at any of the five. They're all strong except for three. You know, when I saw two, we could, if we want to segue all the way to two. I remember that hype going into two. I mean, it was like people. I mean, there hasn't been the horror community hasn't buzzed like that at that point in '97 in at least a good 10 years at that point. Like, I remember the buzz leading into it. Like, I remember the last buzz that I could remember for a movie like Scream 2 was probably Friday the 13th Part 4, the final chapter. I remember at school, everyone was thinking that was it. I remember that was like a big buzz. You know what I'm saying?
I would say prior to Scream 2, the biggest buzz for a horror movie, and once again, it was a sequel to a Craven film, was The Dream Master.
Dream Warriors?
No, Dream Master.
Okay.
Dream Warriors put the Fear series back on track.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah.
But
I think
and Dream Warriors was big. People were talking about
it. Oh, no. We'll talk about that another time.
But when Dream Master came out, I remember I went to the theater.
And I stand corrected,
theater, I had never been in a theater that packed to see. I mean, Freddie Mania was at an all-time high.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I agree with you. Yeah, and I forgot about that, but yeah, no. And also when Halloween 4. Halloween 4, there was a giant buzz because he's been gone for so long and he returned back. So it's been at least at that point 9 years that there's been a buzz in the horror community that I could remember besides up to. Because Halloween 4, I remember, because, you know, when you're a kid, I remember the hype up for it.
Yeah,
it was huge.
It had been a good 6 years since we had Michael Myers, or at least a Halloween film.
Yeah.
Also, too, with the original film, too, was that. Scream is was a term that's been used a lot, but Scream was a sleeper hit.
Right.
No one saw Scream coming.
Right.
You know, I think it was around winter of, and it was really
it was like Christmas of '96.
Yeah, very unorthodox time to release a horror movie.
Yeah, like I was like two months after Halloween. You know.
Yeah, and the movie just in a way was kind of like Titanic, where word of mouth it just. Each week,
the Titanic, they were hyping, but this thing was a surprise.
But people thought, you know, Titanic would be done after a couple of weeks, and it kept going.
Oh,
and I think that's the same thing for Scream. Scream kept just chugging right along. Next thing you know, this movie hit 100 million.
Yeah.
And that hadn't been done in a horror movie at that point.
Yeah.
At least I can't think of anything that hit 100 million.
Yeah, because not even Dream Master or Warriors got that. They were like in the 20s, 30s.
Well, I think when it was all said and nothing, Dream Master may have made 70 something. It was
right,
but this film did like 100 million, like a little over 100 million. It was the sleeper hit of that year.
Yeah, and the set off is not only the mask and the characters; it's the voice, brother. The voice.
Yeah. Oh, the voice of Scream. Yeah.
Roger Jackson.
Yeah.
And that carried on, man, because again, it could be a girl, it could be a guy. I mean, we didn't know that early on in the first one, right? You know. But that voice, where you can't identify it with any characters that you've seen, you know, on screen, you're like, okay, well, who the hell?
What
is
did you? What was your opinion of the climax with Bill and Stewie, where they do the reveal?
I don't remember being blown away because I was expecting something. I didn't pick them two at all. Okay. You know what I mean? But I was just expecting something, you know. And I thought, okay, this could live on. They can carry this on for on and on.
You thought that. So you thought there would be a lot more sequels?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just by the very nature.
I knew there were going to be sequels because, of course, Hollywood doesn't give a shit what we think.
Well, the very nature of
it. The quality, I didn't expect to... It never dropped until, I think, 3, in my opinion. But the quality... They're all good movies.
Shout out to Halloween, in there. Yeah. Obviously, at the end, the clip they were playing at the party and stuff. And, just a universal way to, serve up a killer. Mm-hmm. With a voice that could be anyone's,
What I like about it too is that, and this goes through the entire series, is they're basically Scooby-Doo movies for adults.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
It's basically Scooby-Doo without Scooby and Shaggy.
Right,
it's basically.
Shaggy's in the dies. He was Stewie. I was Stewart.
Yeah. But my thing is you look at Dewey, Gale, and Sydney as basically Fred, Daphne, and Velma.
Right.
And which I'd probably say that I would say that Gale is the Velma character because Gale Weathers is really smart too. She knows how to research and put pieces together.
Right, and she has that feeling like if something's off,
she's an investigative reporter, so she knows how to connect the dots. So, and I thought that was cool because each movie, it always winds up unmasking the killer.
Right.
Like a Scooby-Doo cartoon. And I think it was, people really, really enjoyed that.
So, two, hype up for two, you said, I mean, it was a buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the opening scene was okay.
Well, that was with your homegirl, right?
Yeah.
Jada.
Yeah. And Jada and Omar Epps.
Yep.
Now, had she been with Will at the time, he would have slapped the shit out of Ghostface, and it would have been over.
It would have been a wrap.
Yeah, it would have been a 20, 15-minute movie. But I didn't like her death scene. When she goes, and it was just like, I kind of...
Her scream was dope, though. Her scream.
No, her scream was good, and that whole scene, the whole bathroom scene, I thought was very, very strong, mm-hmm. and very weird when you hear the weird
noise. Right.
And then when he gets stabbed, and then he comes back with the leather jacket or whoever that was, but just when she just falls, I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit, and I was like, oh, I don't know on this one. So.
Yeah.
I like Scream too.
Scream 2 has my favorite scene in the whole franchise when they get caught in the back seat of the police car.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
And they have to climb over Ghostface and the tension in the theater. Everyone was like, "Oh shit." And I I'm an 80s kid, 70s baby, 80s kid, and I'm desensitized as fuck, but that not at that moment. At that moment nails are being bitten, and I'm like nervous, and just them climbing over, and then the one bad decision, in that movie, is where she goes, I have to know, I got to take that mask off, and then when she goes back, he's gone, and then her girl gets it. Oh, that's so well executed from start to finish. You know what I mean? That Wes whole Craven. Scene, yeah, Scream 2, man.
Wes Craven.
Yeah, Wes Craven just pulled that off immaculately. You know what I mean? I wasn't crazy about the boyfriend in Scream 2. Oh,
Jerry O'Connell?
Yeah. And I like him as an actor. Just the whole Top Gun singing thing, that was whack to me. I started disliking some of the characters. The guy's a great actor. He was in The Mandalorian recently. He was the other killer with Billy Loomis's mom.
Yeah.
The Tarantino-esque.
Was it Timothy Olyphant?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So he was a little over the top and very just just chewing up the scene and just ridiculous to me. I wasn't feeling him. I love the I always forget her name, but she's from Roseanne.
Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah, Laurie Metcalf. I thought she was excellent in that role. I mean, menacing. Her eyes. She's a what she does with her eyes. I mean, actors would train years for that.
Unlike a certain other horror movie franchise, I thought this was a much better, maternal killer than another mother who happens to frequent Crystal Lake.
Oh, no, no, no.
Pam, oh, he's a hater. He's a hater.
Really?
Adrian King, Friday the 13th.
I like Billy Loomis' mom was way cooler than Pamela Voorhees.
No way. Pamela Voorhees was amazing.
Yes.
Her noise started off, set off a franchise. Kill, mommy, kill. You know what I'm saying? She was, you know, I'm telling you, I love Pam Voorhees.
I'll take Billy Loomis' mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she got shot. She got out easy. Voorhees took the machete to the neck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, two started to he started to introduce characters that kind of got on your nerves. Mm-hmm. Like, what was his name? Jerry
O'Connell?
He was such a putz to Sydney, right?
Right.
She wasn't even feeling him.
Right.
And you kind of felt bad for him in a sense. And then he jumps up on the table and does that whole scene, which was whack.
Yeah. That was.
You know, you got the sorority girls, right?
Right. They were okay. That wasn't mad at them.
By design.
That was interesting because, you know, the first one to get killed was Sarah Michelle Gellar, who was Buffy.
Right.
She was great.
But the other three, though, you got the Noxzema girl.
Right.
And the other two, with Ellen's wife.
Yeah.
Or Ellen's girl. Yeah. But again, by design. I thought two carried the story on well to the college.
I was upset that they killed my man.
Jamie Kennedy?
Yeah, Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah, he got it.
I was disappointed. I really wanted him to go on because out of all the characters, that was the one that was most familiar to
Randy
me.
Meeks.
That was us. Yeah. You know,
Randy Meeks.
Which was a good kill in broad daylight. He mentions OJ in that scene.
Too. Right, right.
You know,
showgirls, he had the best lines, you know.
Right.
It's funny because I see his podcast. He goes, I don't even know why I did a British accent. But he's like, and he would got away with it too. You know, like when he does the British accent.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't even know why I did a British accent. I just did it, you know. So
Wes was like that. I thought it was executed well. It took you from, you know, high school obviously to college now,
right?
Into that campus, into that world, and executed it well. You know,
right.
A film student, right?
Right.
You know,
but I want to be famous. You know,
there's an F up, or maybe not an F up in that movie. So you remember in the film class when Kevin Williamson's teaching the class, and it's stay away from her, you bitch.
Right. He got the line wrong.
He got the line wrong when he corrected him.
Yeah.
And they went on with the scene. Yeah. Get away from her, you bitch.
Yeah.
He says, get away from her, you bitch.
Yeah. This is film class, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And he was actually wrong with the line from Aliens, right? So I don't know if that was by design.
No, it wasn't. He said that they fucked up the line. And he goes, but there was no Google back then and da 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 da.
Your boy from Dawson's Creek said,
James Vanderbeek?
He said, no, the other cat, Joshua Jackson.
Oh.
He's the one that said, get away from me, you bitch?
Yeah, he said it right.
He said it right.
Yeah, and then Jamie Kennedy said it wrong and clowned him, but he had it wrong the whole time.
He had it wrong, right. And then it started to identify itself as a sequel and carry on those rules.
And they had the rules,
you know,
which
I
dug.
But, yeah, I can dig that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's what I was talking to earlier, last time we were talking. This show was like a recruiting ground for all those WB actors and actors.
Oh, yeah. Well, you mentioned that on the Texas Chain episode, yeah.
Or on Fox, you know, on Fox networking.
Right.
Because, you know, Nev came from Party of Five.
Right. So did Jessica Love Hewitt.
Yeah, you know, who's in the...
I Know What You Did.
Yeah, Summer, which is kind of, you know, that's a result of Scream. Then you had Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy, because Buffy was extremely popular when that show came on. Buffy was at the peak of its popularity. You know, but then you had Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think Jamie Kennedy may have been on some show too or something.
Right, probably.
He's from that generation of actors. Right. Jerry O'Connell. I mean, yeah. So I mean, it was just interesting. All those young actors, you know, were making their bones in horror movies.
Yeah, and then Jada and Omar Epps, they kept up the stereotype that the brothers don't make it past the opening credit scene, and then they got killed before the opening credit scene. You know, the little things like that I thought were fun.
Yeah, man, I don't look at it. I don't know.
That was always the knock. Every comedian in the 80s, that was their go-to. Like, brothers don't make it in horror movies.
But actually, no, because Mike, because remember, what's the name, did survive.
Kincaid?
Dwayne Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the newspaper man. So I think they were trying to, like, they kind of faked you out a little bit in the beginning. But then
Dwayne Martin lived. Yeah.
But he how Jada was treating, dude? I wonder if that's a taste of. I'm just saying.
I'm not going there.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying, dude. I mean, she got it, and I was kind of happy to see her again. Yep, so,
it was a slap in the face for sure.
You know. Yeah, I see what you did there.
I did. Yeah. But what did you think? I see. Like, every time there's a new killer, to me, it just dilutes it. Like, how... I could see Mrs. Loomis being crazy because her son was crazy. It's in the bloodline. But then, like, it was a stretch with the dude. You know what I mean?
I don't think so. But are we into three now?
Or no, I haven't touched three yet. Okay. I'm talking about the...
oh, he's on Timmy Oliphant's character.
Yeah. And I just...
What was the stretch?
Just him just being as crazy as he was is so over the top that it takes me out of it. So... The movie itself, like I said, it has my favorite scene in the Scream franchise. I'm like this, and then I fold my arms when I see him.
It was kind of cringy, right? The end there, yeah. He's all that. What do you say? The story will practically tell itself, or something like that.
It was all that stuff.
It was over the top.
Yeah, and then that's when it becomes fold your arms. Oh, okay, here we go. And so that's why. I liked it, but I didn't like the killers, and that's why I think that it should have just been done, one and done with the Loomis, you know what I'm saying, and Stewie, or Stu, or whatever, but I don't want to harp on that the whole time, but yeah, no, it was great, and it's so well done. Another Wes Craven, he was great in it. The dialogue was incredible, and I'm big on dialogue. Very funny lines. They shit on the Ewoks, which always gets points with me. You know what I mean?
Shout out, Ewoks.
Considering what came after it.
Yeah. That's true. I'll take an Ewok over any day of the week. Turtleneck pants, Kylo Ren.
Porgs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Porgs. Yeah. Or Jar Jars. So I get it. Right. But I didn't think three was going to be as bad as it was.